The Bible lists the kinds of fruit that should be evident in a believer's life. Can you make them a reality in your life? One word holds the key. Today on Turning Point, Dr. David Jeremiah draws his series, The Power of Love, to a close with a focus on obedience. Without it, love and the other fruits of the Spirit remain just words on paper. Listen as David concludes the final priority, pursue love.
Well, thank you for joining us today. And if you've been with us through this series, which began at the end of the month of February and has continued over all through the month of March, I want to thank you for your faithfulness. And I trust that this look at 1 Corinthians 13 has encouraged and strengthened you and motivated you in a new and special way. Now, don't forget, tomorrow we begin a brand new series here on Turning Point Radio, Captured by Grace. Kind of the story of the writing of Amazing Grace, the most recorded song in the history of recorded music, and the story of God's grace as seen in the lives both of the Apostle Paul and of John Newton, who was the human author of Amazing Grace. So don't miss any of these episodes going forward. We're celebrating 500 years of the Protestant Reformation, and this series is in honor of that celebration. Well, today we turn again to 1 Corinthians 13, and for the last time here on this program, to once again and finally remind ourselves that this love we have been learning about is available to us, that we're to pursue that love, that God has called us to love, and we'll learn so much more about that today as we close this series together.
Love is the priority commandment. As we have learned over and over again in studying this passage, it is commanded of Christians at least 55 times in the New Testament that we are to love. You see, the basic fallacy in the world today is that love is a feeling. But the Bible says love is a responsibility. We are commanded to love. God doesn't ask us if we feel like it. He tells us in His Word that it is our responsibility to love. It is His command to us. I've had so many people come to see me over the years of my ministry, walk into my office, and somewhere in the midst of the conversation say something like this, "But Pastor, you don't understand. I don't feel anything for him anymore." I used to accept that, but now there is within my heart a great urge to feed back to them what they're really saying. Oh, you've decided to disobey the Lord. Because you see, the Word of God says we are as husbands to love our wives. When we do that in response to God's command, the feeling normally will come with it. But even if it doesn't, agape love is love that gives when there is no hope of anything in return. That is God's kind of love. As we've talked about this over these past weeks, there's been one question that we haven't touched upon, and I want to try to answer that as we deal with this final priority. How is it that we can love in obedience to the Lord? I want to ask you to do something for me that will help you understand where we're going. If you would just keep your finger in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians and turn to Galatians chapter 5, where we have the listing of the fruit of the Spirit. There's a wonderful correlation between the characteristics that we've studied in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians and the listing of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. You'll find that in verses 22 and 23. For as you study the difference between Galatians chapter 5 and 1 Corinthians chapter 13, what you will discover is the human and the divine role in the production of love. We have talked about the fact that if we're to have God's love, we can't have it without God. As we talked about love never failing, we said love never fails because God never fails and God is love. Love never fails because Jesus Christ never fails and Jesus Christ is love. If we are to have agape love in the truest, perfect sense of the word, it will only be as the Holy Spirit who lives within us sheds abroad in our hearts the love of God, which is supernatural love. But some Christians believe that the way you get that supernatural love is to sit back and wait for God to do it to you. Maybe if you're patient enough, God will zap you with His agape love, and all of a sudden you'll have the loving feeling. But I believe as we look at Galatians 5 and 1 Corinthians 13, we can see the wonderful balance in the Word of God. And we're going to look at two or three other passages that show us the responsibility we have in the loving process as God's children. Now, I think you need to note, first of all, that these parallel verses in the other passages in the New Testament, these qualities are commanded of us in the Scripture. And while the characteristics can only be permanently produced by the Holy Spirit, we are commanded to pursue each of these qualities in our lives. In fact, if you've got your finger in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, I want you to turn back there for a moment. And if you get all the way through the 13th chapter, looking at all the wonderful qualities of love, look at the first verse in the 14th chapter. You see the first two words? Say them out loud, class. Let's say them out loud. Ready? Pursue love. It's not something you wait for, not something you ask to have happen to you. The Bible says we as God's children are to pursue the love that is spelled out in the 13th chapter. And we are to pursue these qualities, listen carefully now, energetically and consistently. For this is true in a number of ways. First of all, each of the verbs in 1 Corinthians 13, each of those verbs that describes love is in the present tense. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is never envious. Love is to be continually kept up to date. All of those are verbs which mean a continuing process, not something that's happened in the past or something that will happen in the future, but something that continues to happen all the time. Love just keeps on being what it is. It's a continuous process. It is not something to be remembered, not something to be looked forward to, something to be experienced right now. Now, if your Bible is open to the book of Galatians, you will notice that after you get past the first quality of the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, you discover that the strength of that love is joy. Joy. Hold your finger in Galatians 5 and go back to 1 Corinthians 13, 6, and you will find joy in 1 Corinthians 13, 6. For love does not rejoice in iniquity, but love rejoices in the truth. The strength of love is joy. Now, the Bible says that the fruit of the Spirit is joy, and the Bible says that one of the characteristics of agape love is joy, but I want you to notice something. Romans 14, 17 says, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And again in the New Testament, we are told, listen carefully, rejoice evermore. If you want a treatise on joy, read Philippians. The Bible commands the Christian to be joyful. And one of the characteristics of love is rejoicing. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's in the 1 Corinthians 13 passage, and it's a command for every Christian to rejoice. Look back in Galatians chapter 5 and notice that after joy comes peace. The security of love is peace. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Turn back to 1 Corinthians 13 and notice in the 5th verse that agape love thinks no evil. Remember what we talked about resentment? The opposite of resentment is peace in your heart. So there is a relationship between these two. The stability of love is long-suffering. Notice in 1 Corinthians 13, 4, that we are told to have long-suffering love. But go back to Galatians chapter 5 now and notice the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. What's the fourth one? Long-suffering. The sobriety of love is gentleness. Look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and you find that everywhere. It's one of the primary things we studied right at the beginning of the chapter. Love suffers long and is kind, verse 4. Verse 5 says, love does not behave itself in a rude way. The simplicity of love is goodness, according to Galatians chapter 5, the next characteristic. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 says, love vaunteth not itself up. It is not proud. The surety of love is faith, 1 Corinthians 13, 7. Notice what it says. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things. Go back to Galatians chapter 5 again. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. The selflessness of love is meekness, 1 Corinthians 13:5. Love does not behave rudely, does not seek its own. Go back again to the book of Galatians and notice that after gentleness comes self-control. And you can go through every one of these characteristics. You'll find them all in Galatians 5. You'll find them all in 1 Corinthians 13. But now, what do we do about all of them? Let's go back through our list again very carefully, and let me give you some passages of Scripture that respond to our responsibility. The fruit of the Spirit is joy, but Philippians 4:4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always," and again I say rejoice. The fruit of the Spirit is peace, but Hebrews 12:14 says, "Follow peace with all men." The fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering. But 1 Thessalonians 5:14 says, "Be patient unto all men." The fruit of the Spirit is kindness. But Ephesians 4:32 says, "Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another." The fruit of the Spirit is goodness. But Ephesians 2:10 reminds us that we have been created unto good works. And Colossians 1:10 says, "We are to walk worthy of the Lord, being faithful in every good work." Titus 3:8 says this, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. These things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they who have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works." The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is goodness, but the Bible also says do good. Are you getting the picture? The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is joy, but it commands us to be joyful. The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is peace, but it commands us to be at peace. The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is kindness, but it says be kind. The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is faith, but 1 Corinthians 4:2 says it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. The Bible says that the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. Titus 3:2 says, "Put them in mind to be gentle." 2 Timothy 2:24 says, "The servant of the Lord must be gentle." The fruit of the Spirit is self-control, and yet Paul in 1 Corinthians 9:25 speaks of keeping his body under, and Peter said we were to add to our knowledge self-control. So over and over again, as we studied the fruit of the Spirit, we saw that what the fruit of the Spirit is as a result of God's Spirit filling us is corresponded by the commands in the Word of God that we're to do those things. You see, the Christian has the attitude often that he is to be passively involved in his Christian experience. Maybe if I wait, I'll be zapped. Maybe the Holy Spirit will just zap me and I'll have all these things. How do you put to practice the things we've studied in 1 Corinthians 13? There is only one way that I know, and that is to be obedient to the command of God to love. You say, "Pastor Jeremiah, how do you love somebody if you don't feel anything for them?" You know that in a marriage, a couple usually weds for romantic reasons. But if romance is to continue and the emotional attraction deepen, agape love must be present also. And each partner, by an act of the will, regardless of personal feelings, seeming worth, each partner is to love in response to God's command. In our society here, more than one out of two couples head for the divorce court. And they say, "We don't love each other anymore." But what they're really saying, if they're Christians, is we will not do as God has commanded us. Agape love is the one solid basis for a marriage. The husband is expected, according to God's command, to seek his wife's well-being, whether she deserves it or not. I know some of you have a burden to bear. And some of you wives have a burden to bear in that matter. But you know, that's immaterial. The Bible says you're to love. It's the command of God. In the process, if you don't get anything in return, that's not your responsibility. Your responsibility to his love. If you read the book Rekindled, you will hear how Pat went for months without ever even getting a look in his wife's eye that she was even responding to what he was doing. Month after month, he gave of himself to try to win her love back, and she never responded to anything for a long period of time. God gave him the courage to go on loving, realizing the tremendous way he had failed his wife in their marriage, he finally got it together and began to love her in response to God's command. You know, the modern concept of marriage goes like this. A man says, "I love you," to a woman. What he really means is, "You do something for me. And after I squeeze all I want out of you, I'll throw you away just like an orange." That's what goes on in our world today. The concept of love in the world is that love is only good if it does something for you. But the concept of God's love is that we love in response to God's command. And I believe with all of my heart that in a married situation where there is estrangement between two people, that it only takes one in that relationship who will commit themselves to be an agape lover to bring it back together. I don't think there's a human being who can withstand agape love over a long period of time without responding. Jill tells in the book how she kept looking for the flaw in all of this. She thought it would pass. It was just another one of his attempts. But she said she could not withstand the day in, day out evidence of the agape love in that man's heart for her. And finally she melted under it. God's agape love does not ask, "What does he do for me?" But it asks, "What am I doing to give myself to her?" What our world's in need of most right now, in our churches, in our homes, are Christians who will let God's love be shed abroad in their hearts. I preached as I normally preach to you, to these couples. And I saw God do some things I've never seen before in a couples conference. I saw the agape love that we talk about in 1 Corinthians 13 actually take place in the lives of some people who had gotten far away from each other. I gave an invitation in the morning service, unlike any invitation I've ever given. I asked all the people to stand, and I said, "If you're here this weekend as a couple," and that's all, there were no single people, just couples, no children, just couples, "and there's something wrong between you, and during this time, God has convicted you, but you still haven't gotten it right, as we stand, I'm going to ask you to do something. I want you to just leave the auditorium." There were over 400 people in the auditorium. "Just take your partner's hand and get out of here and go find some quiet place and get it straightened out." I never seen an invitation where you ask people to leave. But I never was so excited about people leaving in my life as I saw one couple after another get up, take their partner's hand, and walk out of that auditorium to go out someplace on that campground and get things right between themselves before God in response to the command to love. It's not only our responsibility in regard to our partner, but it's our responsibility in regard to our children as well. I spoke about that in one message. And after the service, a man came up to me. He waited until everyone had finished talking, and he said, "I just must talk to you for a moment." He said, "Tonight I realized how I failed my 19-year-old son. He said, "Pastor Jeremiah, he's been a rebel in these last 4 or 5 years. He's rebelled against everything we ever stood for." And he said, "As I've listened this week to you talking about agape love, I've realized that the reason he's rebelled is because of me. I haven't loved him. I haven't spent any time with him. I never have gone to his football games. I just haven't taken the time to love that boy. And his rebellion is a reflection of my lack of agape love." And he said, "I couldn't stand it any longer. I looked over and my wife was crying," he said. "And I got up and got out of there and I went to a telephone and I called home long distance. And I said, 'John, this is your father.' And he said, I was crying. He said, 'Dad, is Mom all right?' He said, 'I want to tell you about the service we were just in tonight.'" He told him about the service. And he said, "I want to ask for your forgiveness. I haven't been the kind of loving father I should have been. And I want to make it up to you. I know we haven't got much time left, but I'm committing myself to love you with God's kind of love." And he said, for the first time in almost 3 years, his son broke at the other end and he began to cry. And he said, "Pastor, I felt the Holy Spirit in the telephone. And I talked to him before he left. He said, 'I can't wait to get home, because I know that waiting me at home is a young man who now for the first time in our relationship is open to something God might do in his life.'" And I came away from that experience realizing that it doesn't matter whether you're at Hume Lake or in El Cajon or any place else, if you do what God tells you to do, he will honor it. If God says in his word to love, You love. You say, Pastor Jeremiah, how do I love? Well, let me tell you how you love. The book of Revelation talks about a church that lost its first love, the church at Ephesus. And John, writing about that church, says that the message that came to the church in Ephesus was this. You want to recover your love? Here's what you do. Listen carefully now. He said, go back and do the first works. And what in the world are you talking about? Do you know how to recover the lost love in your marriage? Go back and do the first works. Do you remember how it was when there was love? What's different between then and now? How did you treat her then? And what's different in the way you treat her now? Did you ever bring her any flowers? Did you ever show love in a tangible way, out of the ordinary? John gave us a wonderful clue. Go back and do the first works. You see, love is not a feeling. Love is a response. Love is an action. You know what happens when you respond? The feeling may not be there immediately, but it will come. Feelings follow actions. Actions don't follow feelings. I don't ever wait for my feelings to get right before I study, before I do the things that take discipline. You do first and the feelings follow. And husband, if you aren't loving your wife and you're not responding to her the way God says you ought to respond to her, you wait for the feeling to come back. It may never come back. And all that time, you're disobedient. What God says for you to do is love her in an active, open, tangible way. Demonstrate your love to her. Parents, you got an estranged relationship with your children, and your children have rebelled against you. Maybe you got to clean up some things in the cobwebs there and get it straightened out. But you have to take the initiative to do it. Love responds. Love doesn't wait. The end of Rekindled is a wonderful and beautiful story of a marriage that was put back together because of a man who let God's love fill his heart. He was broken, devastated because of his own failure. And in his brokenness, God filled him with agape. And he won back his wife. You know what? You're sitting there thinking, yes, Pastor, but that won't work for us. And I want to tell you something. It makes me mad when you say that. It will work for you if you'll try it. The only difference between you and Pat Williams is he wanted it bad enough to try to do what God said. And he did it. And God honored it. You say, but Pastor, so much has gone wrong in our marriage and in our family. There's no way we can recover it. There's too much water under the bridge. I really don't care about the past. I care only about now. Are you willing to be obedient to what God says in His Word? Will you do it?
Well, once again, love is a response of obedience to a command from God. And that's a really hard thing for a lot of people to wrap their minds around. But I know it's true. And when we do what God calls us to do, when we do what He commands us to do, you can be sure that in the process of doing that, there is blessing and the fulfillment of His promise. Thank you again for being a part of the Turning Point study of the power of God's love. And just another reminder that there is a study guide that goes with the series you have been listening to. And the study guide of 1 Corinthians 13 comes with a leader's guide and group discussions bound into the guide itself. It is something you can use to direct discussions and have small group interaction. Your Sunday school class might be a good venue for this. You can also get the CD package on the subject of love. And I won't be talking about this anymore, so this is kind of the last reminder that the power of love is available through a study guide and a CD package. Go to davidjeremiah.org and you will find it there. Click on it. It will tell you how to order it. You can have it sent right to your own home. And then don't forget, during this month, our special resource is the fold-out booklet, Who I Am in Christ. This booklet is very vital for your growth in Christ. It reminds you simply of who you are now that you're a Christian. A lot of Christians don't realize the incredible gift that God has given them, and this booklet outlines everything that you need to know about that subject. So as we close out this month together in these next few days, if you haven't already done so during the month, send a gift. And when you send your gift to Turning Point during this month, ask for your copy of the booklet, Who I Am in Christ. We'll send it to you right away. I know it will be a blessing to you. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
For more information on Dr. David Jeremiah's series, The Power of Love, visit our website, davidjeremiah.org/radio. There you'll find two free ways to stay connected to Turning Point, a copy of our monthly Turning Points magazine, and with our daily email devotional. Sign up today when you log on to our Turning Point website at davidjeremiah.org/radio. That's davidjeremiah.org/radio. Ask for your copy of the laminated fold-out resource, Who I Am in Christ. It's yours for a gift of any amount. You can also purchase the Jeremiah Study Bible in the New International Version and in standard or large print in the New King James, with thousands of notes and articles by Dr. Jeremiah and your choice of cover options. Get details when you contact us today. This is Mark Larson. Join us tomorrow as we begin the series Captured by Grace on Turning Point with Dr. David Jeremiah.